Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. The first reading is from Romans 12. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will help heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The second reading is from Matthew 16. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are getting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the story of life for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Beloved of God, would you join? Can you hear me? Yes? Would you join with me in prayer? Most holy and loving God, speak to us in the stories. Speak to us in the message. Speak to us in the reflections and the meditations of every heart and mind in this room. Amen. Maybe you know this story. This past July, two young boys were playing on Panama City Beach, boogie boarding on the waves. They got out too far, and they got caught in a riptide. Family members swam out to try to help, one after the other, thinking they could take on the waters. But the current was too strong. Eventually, 9 people were out there, stuck, struggling to keep their heads above water. The ocean can be a powerful thing. At once, so the story goes, it seems the onlookers on the beach realized no one person would be enough. It would take all of them to stand against the ocean, all of them to get to these children, these nine people now struggling in the riptide to breathe. So by tens and dozens, they entered the waters, and do you know what they did? They formed a human chain, linking arms, stranger to stranger, knowing the only way any of them could survive was if all of them stood together against the tide. Maybe you know the end of this story. The water didn't take any lives that day. They stood together. They waded out into the deep. They reached all nine people struggling to swim, and they passed those people, person to person, down the chain and got every one of them to safety. Got the whole chain back on the beach, strangers, all of them gathered, now friends on shore, and the beach erupted into applause. Maybe you know this story. Jesus had just asked the disciples who he was to them, and only Peter bravely answered, "You are the Son of God, the Messiah." And Jesus blessed him for it, and then Jesus told them all what was ahead for him: risk and suffering, death, and on the third day, resurrection. And Peter, that same Peter who was just blessed, he can't take it. "God forbid it, Lord," he says. "This must never happen to you." And Jesus' response is not so gentle. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. The truth is, I get where Peter is coming from. I can see myself saying the same. In fact, I can remember times when I've urged friends and counseled church members to be careful. Take care of yourselves. Don't get in over your head or be so generous with others that you're not taking care of yourself too. Have you ever given advice like that? It is good counsel sometimes. Jesus also sometimes stepped away to be alone, to gather his thoughts, to rest with his friends or on his own. In fact, I wonder whether the reason Jesus' response to Peter is so strong, "Get behind me, Satan," he says, is because he himself is fighting this temptation to take the gentler, safer, less risky route. Perhaps in Peter's urging him to a safer path, he in fact sees the tempter speaking the very idea he has felt drawn to in his darker, harder moments. But Jesus wouldn't be Jesus if he'd given in to that temptation, if he did indeed feel it. Jesus did not live among us to take the easy path or to play it safe. His work was to teach us about love and about resurrection, to show us that love wins. Did you hear that part? Jesus didn't just tell the disciples he would suffer and die. He also told them what? Did you hear it? That he would rise on the third day. But Peter didn't hear that. Sometimes we don't hear that promise. So caught up do we get in the part about our fear or about the suffering that may come. Sometimes waters look so scary that we can't see to the other side, that wading in actually means lives saved. To save your life is to lose it, Jesus says. To try to save your life, to try to keep yourself from pain, from suffering, from the things that happen when we live fully, that is to risk losing your life. Because it means never risking love, never risking service, never risking faith. To lose your life, to risk the safety of your heart by loving others, to to risk the safety of your own well-being to care for your neighbors, that is to find your life, your full life, a life of love, a life of faith, a life well-lived. Preacher and writer Barbara Brown Taylor writes on this text, quote, "You just never get that far if you let suffering and death throw you off the track, if you let your fear of those things keep you from sticking your neck out, from taking the risks that make life worth living. You can try to save your own life. You can try to stockpile it, being very, very careful about what you say yes to, being very, very cautious about whom you let in, frisking everyone at the door and letting only the most harmless people inside. But," she says, you won't get very far. Instead, Taylor writes, Christ calls us to, quote, "a life that pours itself out for others as a matter of course, a life that spends itself without counting the cost, knowing that there is always more life where our own life comes from, and that even when our own lives run out, God will have more life in store for us because our God is a God who never runs out of life." End quote. Friends, we have people in the waters. People in the literal waters of Hurricane Harvey, 8 million people within the area of impact. People in the metaphorical waters of addiction, of illness, of poverty. People in the crushing waters of prejudice, as voices from evangelical pastors to white supremacist groups continue to draw lines and boxes around who is and is not made in the image of God, whose lives and whose loves matter above others. We have people in the lonely waters of grief, of loss, of hurt. The ocean can be a powerful thing. Storms, addiction, illness, poverty, prejudice, and grief can also be powerful things. And it can be tempting, can't it, to wait on the shore, to hope that rescue personnel will come, a boat will come by, some other strong swimmer will go out there and save the day. But beloved of God, we are called to so much more than that. To save your life is to lose it. To lose the chance to live by love, to follow Christ, to change the world. To choose risk, to risk faith, to lose your life in its safe and cautious seat on the shore is to find it. To find your place in the human chain linking out into the deep waters, extending a hand to the swimmer to call her home. Maybe you know this story. Our church does a Clink fundraiser. I don't know how much money we own, how much money we raise, but you gather bottles and you bring them to the Redemption Center, one can of soda at a time, and we use that money in our community to do projects, to do mission, to do good. And you called me on Wednesday. It was Debbie McBride on the phone, but she was calling on your behalf, and you said, "We in Maine know what it's like to get caught in a storm. These are our neighbors and our friends. We'd like to write a check for $500 to people affected by Hurricane Harvey." And I confess I had a little bit of the voice of Peter in me. $500, wow, that's generous. What do we usually use that money for? Is that not flagged for some mission or project in our church? Can we spare it? We have enough you said. We have plenty. We can spare it. And we hung up the phone, and before I could make the transaction, you called back and you said, no, heck, let's give $1,000. And we mailed the check on Friday, and we sent out a note in our weekly email letting you know we had mailed the check, and then you came by with more money. You had $5 and $20 and $50 to put in to add to that check, and then you called and said, could the gratitude offering not also go just this once to Hurricane Harvey? And now we have a plate up here full. This is how love works. We raise $1,000 for mission, and that's good. And we could have saved it and used it here, and that would have been good. That was the plan, and it would have stayed $1,000. But you said, we have enough, let's give it away. And in letting go of it, it grew by $5 and $10 and $50 by you coming by the gratitude offering. Now it grew into more than we could have imagined. And we'll cut a second check this week and we'll hand it all down the human chain to those in the depths of the water, trusting that God will be in every hand and every muscle holding against the tide in every act of love sent out. To save your life, to choose safety on the shore, is to lose it, to lose the life that God was calling you to. To choose risk, to risk faith, to step into the waters and take your place in the human chain, to lose your life in its safety and comfort on the shore is to find it, to find your place in the community of people building the realm of God, building the human chain that is daring, that is risking to go out into the deep. Alleluia and amen.